If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast with Brandon Schultz and Adam Emmert. This week's guest is the producer of the Dave Damashek football program and the Around the NFL podcast. If you listen to Damashek, you know him as Black Tie. If you listen to Around the NFL, you know him as TD. What do we call you, man, now that you're on the Seahawkers Podcast?
Well, I mean, I just go by TD, which is, you know, which is my name. But on Damashek show, obviously, every producer that's been on that show has to be a tie of some sort. So, but, you know, whatever's fun for you guys, I'm cool with it.
All right, man. Well, to start off, I really have to thank you, TD.
You forgot about the Move the Sticks podcast, you know, and Coach's show. Come on, you know.
How could I forget those?
Dan Hansen.
Dude, you're way too busy for me to keep up with everything, man.
It's all good, man. It's all fun. It's great work with those guys, man. Best guys to work around. And all the shows that they do, man, it's just great. They love doing their shows. That's what makes it easy and makes it fun to, you know, work on.
But I am particularly appreciative of the fact that you were on, that you chimed in on Damashek's show just here recently, because just to add a little bit of that balance, because I think we learned something after the game, and that the fact that either Damashek's a closet Packers fan, or maybe overt, or he just really hates the Seahawks that much from being such a Steelers fan.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, I sort of noticed, you know, Sunday during the game, and even his tweeting habits, like how he was tweeting and after the game, and, you know, so on and so forth. And then Handsome Hank, who's on Damashek show as well, he pointed out, he was the one who actually came up with the idea of, like, hey, we got to call him out on the podcast. You got to have an intervention of some sort. And say, hey, Damashek, you know, come to terms with the fact that you are a Packers fan. And, you know, I don't blame him for that. I definitely think he's more of a Packers fan just because of Aaron Rodgers. He's been tooting Aaron Rodgers' horn for so long and saying how he's going to be the greatest quarterback that will play. And I'll tell you this one thing about Dave Damashek. I love the guy, but Dave Damashek loves being right. He's all about his predictions and his calls, and he loves to be right. And for that fact, for Aaron Rodgers to prove him right, he has to be a fan. He has to root for Aaron Rodgers to be the greatest to ever, you know, play this game. And as a result, you know, obviously, Rodgers losing a game like this knows that that's going to put a dent in his greatest of all-time resume. So I totally understand where Damashek is coming from. I mean, I'm from Atlanta. I don't see myself as a Falcons fan. I like being objective. Sorry, there's a siren in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear that. But
No, you're cool.
I'm a big Russell Wilson fan. I've been a Russell Wilson fan since he got in the league. And just watching the game on Sunday, it's very, very obvious to clear how somebody else might think, oh, I am a Seahawks fan because of how I'm a Russell Wilson fan. So I totally understand where Damashek's coming from.
Well, and to speak to that, really, how I kind of you got on my radar is just because we have so many Seahawks fans, listeners out there that really like to promote your sexy deep ball tweeting habits about Russell Wilson. So talk about where that came from.
Well, it's actually a funny story that the, you know, Seahawks are playing the Pats now here in Super Bowl 49 is because the very first game of Russell's career going up against the Pats is actually the birthplace of the sexy deep ball. I actually did, first of all, it was the week 5 in 2012, the game with Sidney Rice, that, you know, that strike down the middle to Sidney Rice that won the game for the Seahawks. Oh, week 6, excuse me. And I saw that, and I might have seen a couple more passes before that, but I saw that play, and I was like, man, that's just, like, it's not a matter of, like, arm strength or stuff along those lines. It's just how it looks in the air. It's like the you know, prototypical NFL film slow motion shot. You know, the dip and the swerve to it, and the way it just drops in front of a deep receiver running after it. I was like, you know, that looks sexy. And it just became a thing. I was like, oh, that's a sexy deep ball. Russell throws a sexy deep ball. And I actually got a chance right after his rookie season to do an interview with him. I did a sit-down interview with him where I put this on camera. There's a video actually on NFL.com. If you Google it, you will find this video. And it's about Russell Wilson talking about how he throws a deep ball, you know, what he looks for, how he checks the safety, you know, players he watched, quarterbacks he watched growing up from, I believe you mentioned Drew Brees is one of them. And he was just here. He spoke about it. And he spoke about that Patriots game and that pass to Sidney Rice. And I was like, yeah, that's the one that really got me going. So it's funny that they play him now in Super Bowl 49. And it's funny that what's taken the Seahawks to the Super Bowl is a sexy deep ball. And that was a great moment. I was so happy when that happened. Just during the first half of that game, a lot of Seahawks haters, no, I'm not going to say Seahawks haters, but a lot of non-Russell Wilson fans coming out the woodworks and like, oh, what's up with your boy Russell? What's up with him? It's not looking so good. And then for him to end the game like he did, it was just kind of like, yeah, you know? So it was fun.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because there were those people out there, the doubters of Russell Wilson, that say, oh, he's not that good. But just talk about how good of a quarterback you have to be to play that terrible for almost 55 minutes and then to come back and do what he did in the final 5 minutes and then in overtime.
No, definitely. And before I even get into that, it's going back to people doubting Russell. There's always this but when it comes to Russell. It's great, but, you know, people... It's you know, it's changing a little bit, but it's still there. Like, you see when he has a bad half, and which was by far the worst half and going to be the worst game of his career, because a lot of those plays were fluky plays. Two of those interceptions were tipped interceptions, but just the response from people was just evident of how people just weren't necessarily sold on him just yet. And the reason is because he's hard to quantify. He's not a regular quarterback, and it's hard to say, okay, he's good because of this. It's just hard. It's different. The way he plays the quarterback position is so different. So people are not willing to take that leap of faith and be like, you know what, this guy is legit, even if he doesn't do it in the conventional way. And that's why it's weird to me. That's why people still don't necessarily give him his props. I mean, look at the way he ended the game. And I'm still hearing a lot of how awful he was before that. There's still a lot about that. If that was Andrew Luck per se, you're hearing about how great and clutch Andrew Luck is, as opposed to hearing how bad he was the first 55 minutes. And it's just funny how that works out. But, I mean, just being able to pull it off after such a bad game, I mean, I'm not going to get into the stats and whatnot. There's a lot of other football talkers and talking heads that definitely do that better than I do. But, I mean, I can only speak to the way he is as a person, from what I've seen, the way he is an athlete. I don't know if it's a person, the way he seems to be as an athlete, just that all-time believer. You know, he's big on his faith, and, you know, it's a personal thing, but you can see that with him. And I don't knock him for that, because you got to believe in what you believe in, and he's big on belief. He's big on a feeling like, you know what, I got this, I can do this. And that's his whole shtick. That's his whole facade. And some people might call it a facade, and they might think it's fake, but that's who he is. That's who he believes in. And that's why, I mean, not just him, but the rest of the roster, too. I mean, you have guys who are chip on their shoulder type of guys all around the board. And guys like that, when it comes to those moments where another player, another personality type might be scared, might be worried, they're used to that. They want that. They, you know, they attack their fears as opposed to being shy in the moment. And then you have a guy like Marshawn Lynch, who's different. He doesn't even act like he has any fears. He's dancing on the sidelines with 4 minutes left. And it's just a mix of personalities from the guys I've met. I've met Russell, Pete Carroll, Doug Baldwin, Kirsch, Michael Bennett. These guys are just carefree, either just a bunch of carefree guys or guys who just feel like they've been slighted. And when those moments come to light, I mean, Richard Sherman, when those moments come around, they're ready to go. They're ready to prove people wrong. So, you know, that's just kind of like how I see it.
Well, you talked a little bit about the mental toughness of Russell Wilson and how that kind of permeates throughout the team. One thing that really impressed me throughout the game, TD, was both Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman going out with significant injuries. coming back into the game, and you see Earl Thomas lay the wood to Eddie Lacy with his bad shoulder. You see Richard Sherman late in the game make a significant tackle to hold the Packers on third down. Yeah, with one arm. Talk a little bit about the mental toughness of the defense, and do you think that maybe was kind of the turning point? For me, it felt like that was a little bit of what the team fed off of in the second half, was those two guys coming back and just playing like warriors.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at the shot at Earl Thomas leaving, and I'm not sure if this was on a broadcast, but at work we have like the clean sheets, and what that is essentially is that even when the broadcast is in break, we can see what's still happening on the field or see what the cameras are showing. And Earl Thomas, essentially, when he was going to the locker room, what he was doing, and again, this goes to guys who just are believers and have their faith, and whatever it is you believe in, that's up to you, but they really believe in what they believe in. And Earl Thomas was walking down the sideline, and all he's doing is just beating his chest, kind of like Matthew McConaughey and Wolf of Wall Street. He's just sort of beating his chest, like, you know, he's walking away and like looking up and pointing to the sky, like, you know, whatever this is, I got this. I'm going to be back in the game. This is when he's going to the locker room. He goes in the locker room, puts on a harness and a dislocated shoulder, which is no joke of an injury. I've had that in my way younger basketball playing career, and it sucks as an injury. It's awful. And he puts in the harness and comes back out. Like, he's a guy as well. Speaking with Bucky Brooks, one of our great talent here at NFL Network, he talks about how Earl Thomas to this day is still mad at him at Bucky Brooks for not giving him props when he was coming out the draft. Uh-huh. Like, you know, having him as a second or third ranked safety. And to this day, Earl Thomas is still mad about that. I mean, you just have a bunch of guys like that, Richard Sherman, and you have a bunch of guys who just are ready for those moments or live for proving doubters wrong. So, yeah, that defense definitely came to play. It actually surprised me that Aaron Rodgers did not take more shots than Richard Sherman, because I love Richard Sherman. I love what he stands for, but the fact remains that if you have one arm that's, you know, not working, you can't really run that way. Try running in a straight line with one arm caught. You're not going to be at full speed, because you need both arms to sort of, you know, move around. I'm actually surprised that they didn't test him deep or whatnot. But, I mean, gutsy play, man, making that tackle. Gutsy, really gutsy play. And some people said, hey, maybe he was kind of faking it to say you would get tested, which I can see Sherman doing that. It is gamesmanship. That totally would have worked, but I really think it was in real pain. But definitely, as reports are saying, both those guys are going to play mentally tough, and they're both physically tough guys, too. Those guys are, you know, they lay the wood, as you said.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, too. I couldn't even quite... I didn't pick up on it until I got a text from my wife saying that Sherman had hurt his elbow. And but then once I saw it, you could kind of see him carrying it around on the field. And but I guess I was a little more surprised they didn't try and run it to his side. It seemed like when Aaron Rodgers was really slinging it down there toward the end, once they had to come back to get that game tying field goal, he didn't have any problem moving it down the field, whether he was throwing Sherman's side or against any of the other guys. So I think people are kind of leaving out some of the play by... let me ask you this, TD. Were you surprised that Aaron Rodgers, after the game, that the way he got at the play calling, do you think he really was disappointed in the way the game was called, that they weren't more aggressive early on?
Well, I mean, it definitely sounds like a little bit of his comments sounded like he didn't want to throw anyone under the bus, but he was kind of like, yeah, you know, didn't, you know, I don't remember his exact words, but I mean, you get the ball in the position they got it twice in the first quarter, and a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, like this honestly is the best quarterback right now in the game, he's going to want to attack and, you know, make those plays. I mean, if you look even at Russell at the fourth quarter punt was like 7 minutes left, and Russell's begging to stay on the field. I mean, so definitely a guy like Aaron Rodgers that close to the goal line is going to want to be more aggressive. And but that, you know, the Packers team, they played with like a team who knew they were not favorites, and what they had to do was pull off an upset, and they played it safe, and which is going to work out just fine for them. But it didn't, because of those crazy improbable turn of events that happened late in the game. But it's also funny to me how, speaking of Aaron Rodgers after the game, saying, hey, you know, it feels like they were the better team and they didn't win the game. And first of all, I find it funny how Aaron Rodgers gets away with saying that and no one says anything.
But, yeah, I think you said if Cam Newton were to come out and say that, he'd get destroyed.
Yeah. No, definitely. And it's not necessarily just about Cam, but it's just like some quarterbacks not afforded that sort of leeway to speak like that. Aaron Rodgers is, and he, granted, he's a bad man. But, I mean, just to say that the Packers are a better team, do they play better the first 55 minutes? Definitely. But for my money, the better team is a team that was down the whole game in probable situation and still found a way to come back and win. Like, that to me is the better team. Like, Packers almost pulled off the upset and because they played better the first 55 minutes, but the Seahawks showed why they were favorites going into the game because, you know, they were able to make that happen. I mean, much props to them, definitely.
One of the things we saw after that win, TD, was that you saw something that we really haven't seen out of Russell Wilson before, and that is that true, real emotion. And last year we saw it with Richard Sherman, but this year it was Russell Wilson. And listening to Dave after the game, he seemed to have a problem with that show of emotion from Russell. Does the media in general just like the cliche machines and not like the emotion, or what's the deal?
Well, it's funny you say that. I mean, Dave is not the only one who wasn't a big fan of Russell Wilson's emotion at the end of the game. I remember just going around, like Dan Hansen, something around the NFL guys said on their podcast was when, you know, the game was ending, I was like going around the office. I was just really excited and I was going around and talking to coworkers like, wow, what a great game. And one of the things I remember, I was walking past the newsroom and somebody else was saying, man, Russell Wilson is so fake. I'm not buying this. And that, you know, oh, you know, more power to him. That's, you know, your opinion, and it's totally fine. I mean, Bill Simmons is another guy in the media who used to be a huge Russell Wilson fan a couple of years ago and isn't now. He admitted recently or said it, like, hey, I've completely turned on Russell. I'm not buying it. I think it's fake. And so there are a lot of people in the media right now that are not buying the whole Russell Wilson act. And as much as I like him as a player, I've also said, hey, yeah, he's a pretty boring interview. He's pretty straightforward. He acts like he's a president. That's his image. That's his whole vibe. And I'm not going to blame him for that because when you're in the position that he's in, you're going to pick a certain like type of way you want to portray yourself. And that's the brand he wants to put out. Do I like it as a producer and trying to get the best content out of an interview? No, but I understand why for his brand, he's chosen to go that route. With that said, yeah, he's a very canned, PR safe guy. And then he has a moment like he did after the game, and it's just like, how can you knock him for that? Like, I don't. He's a lot of things. I don't think he's that good of an actor.
Right.
And plus, that doesn't fit his brand. His brand has always been cool and calm and collected, and which he was. I mean, because after the game, he actually talked about, hey, how he told the offensive coordinator, hey, I was going to make that play, but in the moment. Emotions got the best of it. It was an improbable comeback. Like, that's a once-in-a-generation type game, and he made it happen after everything he had been through so far. And when the man starts talking about, hey, I'm thinking about my father, like, you can call that fake all you want, but you have no idea how true that is. It could be so for real. Like, he could be so, like, that's the thing people don't understand about athletes. You expect them to be normal people. They're not. That's why they're at the level at which they are. Professional athletes, they're not normal folks. I've been around quite a few in my time, and they're driven differently. You know, different things get to them. They're in touch with their emotions. They're in touch with, you know, what drives them. And for a guy like Russell, you know, he's just 26. Russell's younger than me, for crying out loud. And he's already lost his dad. And for him to get in that moment and just have an emotional moment, I can totally believe that. I mean, whether or not I buy the whole, you know, is he being real or whatnot, that's a different conversation, but I can totally buy the fact that a guy is touching, you know, digging deep into, like, hey, his memories about his dad, if his dad was around. I cannot knock him for that because, hey, these guys, they strive off emotion. Have you ever been in a locker room and seen a coach speak and all that stuff? It's all just the same hoopla stuff, but that's athletes for you. They thrive off that emotion, and sometimes it gets them to the point in which they're crying. You know, it's good to you. Sometimes it gets them to the point in which they're crying because they lost. It's all part of the game.
That's true. Now, you'd mentioned a little bit about how folks have kind of turned on Russell Wilson and kind of as a Seahawks fan, looking at the Super Bowl coming up between the Seahawks and the Patriots, I'm starting to get the feeling that these might be the two most hated teams in America right now by everybody else's fan bases. As a somebody who's involved in a bunch of national shows, do you kind of get that vibe?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's funny, like, the overarching vibe so far this week for me has been the amount of sorrow and just sadness people feel for the Packers. And it's like, whoa, settle down, guys. I know they lost a bad game there. The amount of sorrow that people feel right now for the Packers, and Damchick is definitely one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when we started the show today, this week's first EDFP, and he's talking about, he's starting the show, he just doesn't sound right. You know, like I like talking about body language. The body language is a little bit off. He did the Sheck report this week today, and that was about the Packers and how the football guys didn't want him to win. And that's not, again, not Sheck at all. This is like just general national media, and people just seem disappointed. I understand part of it is because they wanted to see Brady versus Rodgers, you know, greatest of all time bowl, and that could have been a perfect matchup that didn't work out. I get that part of it. But it's funny to me how people are like so sad for the Packers, and it's not a matter of, you know, it's just strange how that's working out. But the matchup itself, the Super Bowl matchup, yeah, it is. It's weird because people don't like the Pats because of, you know, all their Belichick way and Patriots way and stuff. And people are definitely beginning to like the Seahawks because of the notion and the reputation of their fan base and the players that they have. They have a bunch outside of Russell. They have a bunch of, like, you know, outgoing, talkative players, and Doug Baldwin being one of them. I mean, Doug Baldwin is calling out Deion Sanders and the rest of the media without them. You know, Richard Sherman is a guy who last season, as you alluded to, already came out and was just so, you know, just verbal in his post-game press conference. Marshawn Lynch, people sort of like him. They like the whole Skittles thing. That stuff is fun. But some people also don't like him because it's like, hey, why aren't you talking? Why are you being weird? And all that stuff. So it's really weird, too. It's really weird seeing how the voting is going. And I think it's leaning towards the Pats. I think ultimately people are siding with, like, okay, the All-American Tom Brady, you know, these guys, the dynasty, let them win one more, and maybe that's it. And this, I would not be surprised by when next Sunday comes around, it's really going to be like the Pats are the good guys and the Seahawks are the villains. I sort of see it going that way right now.
I agree. I looked at a map today up on Reddit where somebody was comparing the maps of predictions from last season, with the only two states that were going for the Seahawks were Oregon and last year it was actually Oregon, Seattle, and Massachusetts of all places, and then obviously Massachusetts is on the Packers side this year, so well, they were probably rooting for the Seahawks because the Broncos beat the Pats, just seeing that again, the Seahawks are kind of the underdogs amongst the fans.
Yeah, it's really funny to see, but you know, it's all part of the game. And I would tell you this: as you guys are Seahawks fans, that's how the Seahawks want it. So yeah,
exactly,
that's exactly how they want it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to a really fun game. Thankfully, second year in a row, I'm going to be there. So that was one of the things I was rooting for. Was like, hey, I want to see these guys play again. I want to see Russell on that big stage again. Hopefully throw a couple of sexy deep balls live. Live in Arizona, and it'll be a joy to watch. So I wonder if he remembers that interview at all, because he actually ends the interview, which is the drop on the Damchick show, with, you know, Dan Russell Wilson not throw a sexy deep ball. I wonder if he remembers that at all.
I do.
He makes throws.
Yeah,
and he's like, man, that was sexy, you know. Because I know the Seahawks website used it as well. I wonder if he thinks about it now and then. Who knows?
I have to think that he thought about it at least right there at the end of that game, because that was the way that he finished off the game, and exactly what came to my mind as he connected on that last pass. So, TD, really wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast, at Producer TD on Twitter. And we really need to get that sexy deep ball thing going a little bit more.
Yeah.
No, but thanks, guys. Thank you for having me. It's been fun. And I'm not a Seahawks fan, but I am a Russell Wilson fan. So I naturally am going to root for them. I've been, you know, last few years, I have been rooting for the Seahawks as a in general. Just the whole idea of how people keep doubting Russell because he's not typical. That really bugs me. It's like, yeah, I get it, but look at what he's doing. Yeah, he's not throwing for 300 yards, but he's such a threat on the run, and he's not just a running quarterback. He runs to throw a lot of times. He's like pretty much the hardest quarterback to tackle, and people don't value that. Like, people talk a lot about Marshawn Lynch being the engine of the offense, which I agree with, but a lot of that goes into play, too, because of what Russell Wilson might do if he keeps the ball. And people just, you know, disregard his whole skill set because it's not typical. And it's like, come on, guys. It's 2015. We need to be a little bit more progressive here, you know? But.
Well, maybe a Super Bowl MVP will help shift the rest of those people away.
Yep.
All right, TD, thanks again for coming on the show, man.
All right, guys, thank you for having me, and have a good one.